soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. And thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God, your spirit's water to my soul. I taste it and I see, come once again to me. I will draw near to you, I will draw near to you. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. And thousands elsewhere.
See if I remember how to do this. Good morning, church. It is great to get to say that again and to get to hear a response instead of getting to look into a camera while doing that. It is a wonderful day that we have to be joined back together, even if it's a little bit smaller of a group of us, and we know there'll be some later as well. Again, it is a great day that we have to rejoice together. Obviously, today's going to be a little different feeling, but that's okay, because it doesn't matter how many, how few of us we are. It's the fact that we're here and we're gathered together and we are still the church. You've heard David and Taylor and I speak those words over and over again over the last 2 months to remind you that no matter how we're getting to do things, we are still the church. And it's so great to see you guys here this morning. Few things just to kind of go over, make sure everyone's on the same page for this morning. Hopefully, as you're coming in, you grabbed your communion supplies. If you did not get to grab one of those, just raise your hand and we can get some of those to you in a second. But I think we were doing really well to make sure we got everybody's as they're coming in. Just so you know, and you're not sitting there like so anxious and nervous what to do with that, communion's going to be at the end of our worship, and it'll probably be that way while we're kind of adjusted in things like this as we meet together. So hang on to those. We will take those at the end of worship this morning. And then after we are dismissed, there'll be trash cans on the way out that you can just drop those in for us. And we greatly appreciate you doing that for us. That also goes to the idea of when we do dismiss, this is going to be something that's a little tough and a little harder to do. Please wait for us to dismiss you as we close today. And again, we're just doing that out of safety and respect for those that we do need to be concerned about for health reasons, as we are, even just with the situation, how we are right now. Also, the other thing, and this is a tough one, I know, when you guys get ready to leave from this morning, once you get to the back, we're going to kind of kindly ask you go ahead and head to the parking lots. We're fine if you guys want to talk outside and visit some more. That's wonderful. We need that. We need you guys to be involved with each other. But we have to get everything in here cleaned for our next service. So it'll help us out if you guys can transition beyond the foyer and outside once we dismiss this morning. A couple other things I want to mention real quick, and then we'll get started with our worship for today. Online, you'll still see that we're going to be posting some videos. That has to do with small groups that may be meeting still on Sundays, or for those that are wanting to start something, we're going to still be providing some resources online with that. So next week, we will begin basically a titled program, I guess. It's called First Things First. So some of you may have already watched kind of the promo thing that we did coming into today, but next week we'll get those things officially started. Also, today is Senior Sunday, so we're going to be celebrating our high school graduates this afternoon across the street in the Family Center parking lot. Hopefully you've seen some of the videos or the maps and all those details that are there. I don't know if it's, are there slides up here? All right. Here's the fun little map. David, I should have had you with the laser pointer show them the route that they're going to take there. Essentially, you're going to go down Tarleton, turn onto Virginia going behind the Family Center, turn back onto Green Street, and then you'll make a little horseshoe through the parking lot. Not, I thought he was zapping it at me for a second there. I was like, come on. So when you go through in the parking lot, we'll have our grads set up there, and then they can come, and if you've got a gift or something for them, they can walk up and get it from you. But we want you guys to please stay in your vehicles if you can, so that, one, for safety reasons, and then two, it'll also keep the flow of traffic going a little bit better if we don't have people stopping and getting out. So hopefully you can be there this afternoon. That starts at 3 o'clock, so hopefully we'll have a nice little line going on, and we can actually say that we backed up traffic in Stephenville, Texas, to celebrate our grads. This morning, we're going to get started with Psalm 33, verses 1 through 12. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. Pray, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for being God, for being the creator of all. We thank you for being our Father, that you are willing to call us your children. Father, today as we gather here again, Father, we know things are different around us, but Father, we know that you are unchanging. And as we are here as one body, Father, we praise you. We love you for the things that you have done and for the things that you will do. Father, please bless our community. Give healing to those that are sick and struggling. Father, bless our nation. Give healing to those that are in need. Father, we know that if we turn to you and we look to you, Father, that through you, you provide. Thank you again for bringing us here today. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to be one. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen. One other announcement, just so that nobody's too caught off guard with it. All of our songs will have the pre-recorded audio with it, so we will not actually have a song leader up here, but that doesn't mean we don't want you guys to still sing out. So I'm going to be walking by to make sure that you're singing. I'm just kidding, not really. But please do sing out this morning as we get this chance to worship together.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on a mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began.
Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be.
exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Exalted on high, I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. The King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Sorry. All right, I ask that you'll join me as we continue in Psalm 33. We're going to start in verse 13. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place He watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in You. Please pray with me. God, I'm so thankful to be able to be here this morning and to be united with brothers and sisters again. God, we are so thankful that in the good times and bad, You are still on Your throne and You are still God. Lord, we're thankful that no matter what, You still see us, that You still are watching over us, that You still hear our voice, that You still love us, and that we can still have hope in You. And God, we're thankful that no matter what goes on in this world, we are still Your church. We can still serve our purpose and accomplish Your mission, and that there's nothing that can stop us from that. I pray that we can believe that. I pray that we can continue, no matter what, to put our hope in You. God, I pray that we can continue to support each other and to encourage one another, and that we can continue to love each other and love our community and the people around us, and that we can share You and Your love with the world. God, continue to bless our time this morning. I pray that You'll be with David as he speaks Your word and as he shares with us how we can apply it. God, again, I'm so thankful for this opportunity, and I ask that You'll continue to be with us moving forward. We don't know what's coming. We don't know what Your plans are, God, but we trust You, and we put our hope in You. Yeah. We love You. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, you ready? Good morning, church.
Good morning.
All right. I have just been excited to get to say that again. Every time I would record something, I would think, okay, I want to say good morning, church, and wait for the reply. But It couldn't happen. It is so good to be back together. I am excited to be here this morning. I realize there are many who cannot be with us today, and that is best for them. We want to continue to pray for them, ask God's blessing on them. Some are not here this morning for the sake of others, because they want to be careful about coming here and maybe causing a problem for other people. So we want to not be judging anyone who's not coming. And it's such a great thing for us to be together. And we're excited about the next service as well. We are recording this service so that we can put it on air so that people can watch it. And that's one of the reasons why we didn't know how our singing would sound this morning. So we have a lot of recorded music to begin with. As we go along, we'll transition away from that as we're able to get more together. I just am so proud of you. I just want to say that before I begin my lesson. I just appreciate the way that you've let people know that we're still the church, and we're still here to serve people. We're still feeding the hungry. We're still looking after the needs of our members and others. And I'm just really proud of you. Thank you for praying for our leaders as they made plans for how we can make this transition back. Ron Powell, thank you so much for leading the crew and helping us be able to do all the things that we need to do this morning. He took that on himself to be able to be a leader in that with our deacons. And so, deacons, I thank you for that and so many others who have volunteered to help. So let me jump into our lesson, and we'll not spend a long time on it, but I pray that we honor God and His Word as we study together this morning. You'll see on the slide this morning something that hopefully will make a little more sense as you see it there. But I want you to note that one is a picture of my grandson Archie's favorite blanket, Captain America blanket. And then the other is a pose that sometimes I catch Archie making. And so I wanted you to see that as I tell you this story. One day I was working on the patio when my grandkids came over. And I was working on putting together a bicycle, old used bicycle that we had found that we wanted to have something for them to ride when they came to visit with us. And they were out playing in the yard. Now, my grandkids, and your grandkids may be the same way, or your children, they can't play with one thing at a time. And the old rule that we used to have about you take one thing out and you don't get something else out until you put that up doesn't work with them at all. Because everything they take out, they put it into this story that they're putting together that's, you know, real intricate and everything is connected together and it makes this huge story. So they're out in the yard and they've got ball bats and gloves and they've got blankets. It looks like they're making some kind of fort. They've got all kinds of toys that they've carried out there, a sand bucket, shovels. There's everything in the world is out there, and they've got this game or something going on, and I peek out every once in a while and see what they're up to, make sure that they're not having a problem, and I keep trying to figure out how to put this old bicycle back together. And I look up, and now normally we have this battery-operated car that only Annie will drive, but I look up, and Archie, the younger brother, is trying to drive it, which is interesting, because I'm not sure at that point how well he would handle that, but it's not going anywhere, so I don't worry about it, and I go back to working on my thing. I look up again, and he's got out of the car, and he's gone to the back of it, and he's trying to push it, which, you know, I'm thinking, okay, he doesn't understand what he needs to do to make it run. So then he gets out, and he goes around to the front, and he's trying to pull the car. And still nothing is happening. So you can see he's frustrated with it, but he walks off and he picks up his favorite blanket and a baseball bat and he heads off to do something else. So I get back to my work, and as I'm there bent over working on the bicycle, I look up and Archie is standing right by me with his blanket wrapped around him like a cape, and he's got his ball bat, you know, and he's saying, Poppy, we need your extra superhero power. And I'm kind of flattered at that. I think, well, that's a good opinion for a grandson to have about his granddad, you know. And he says, he holds his bat, you know, like it's some powerful tool, you know. And he says, my bat can move things. And I'm thinking, okay. And he says, but it can't move cars. But you have the strength to do it. And so I take his hand and we go out to the car. And upon examination, I find that the battery is dead. And I use my super extra superhero power to go inside the house and get the extra battery off the charger and bring it out and put it into the car. And lo and behold, it runs. And Granddad is indeed a superhero to his grandkids. Do you feel like you need some superpower? Do you feel like you need some extra strength right now? Do you feel like you've just kind of worn out? Has COVID-19 done that to us to where we feel like, man, I just need some more energy? It's not just not knowing what's going to happen next. It's not just trying to take care of the complicated schedules of children being home and homeschooling and so forth. It's not about the fact that we can't get our doctor's appointments in and things like that. There's more to it than that. There's an atmosphere of anxiousness. It's in our language. I mean, when you hear daily on the news words like out of abundance of caution, the word crisis being repeated so many times. Talk about our economy being the worst it's been since the Great Depression, or that unemployment is the worst since the Great Depression. Words like that make you anxious. When we talk about our wonderful medical staffs and first responders and people on the front lines, we think about how they're being inundated and overwhelmed. Those words create an anxious atmosphere. And then I found myself doing more counseling than what I've done before. And I've had to do it in a different way than what I've done before. Because I can't meet in person with people, I've had to learn some tools of counseling. If somebody had told me just a few years ago that I would be doing Zoom counseling, I'm not sure what I would have thought they were talking about. What in the world is Zoom counseling? I remember one occasion where when this first started and I had a counseling appointment with someone, and I was trying to share this scripture with them from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. You can see it for yourself, but I'll read it to you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, what I was trying to do was, as I was looking at the screen and seeing the person's face, I was trying to put that scripture up to show them. And I was just starting in this technology, and I was trying to counsel them about their anxiousness. And I was so anxious about goofing up the technology to where I wouldn't be able to get the scripture up to show them and then get back to their face that I think I needed it a whole lot worse than they did. The counseling was more for me, I think, than it was for them. That's just the frame of mind that we're in right now. And it's got better. So if you need to talk to me, don't worry about that. But I turned to a book that I had used before in counseling cancer patients and their families in the Bigger C ministry called The Strength You Need by Robert Morgan. Robert Morgan is a minister, and his wife has MS. And he started writing this book as her MS was progressing to the point that he was more and more becoming her caregiver. And he was trying to balance his ministry and, of course, the family needs and her care. And he started writing this book, looking at passages in Scripture that talks about strength. And that book tremendously helped me as I was reading it and thinking about how to help other people to deal with cancer. So I pulled that book off my shelf again, and I began to read it for this particular situation. And I thought, as I read through it again, I'm going to share some of this with my church family when we get back together. And that's what I want to start doing this morning. There's a passage in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, that is worded differently in the NIV than it is in the ESV. In the New International Version, it's worded as a question. And notice what it says. If you falter in time of trouble, how small is your strength? That question almost poses the idea of consider the measure of your strength if you falter in the time of trouble. The ESV awards it as a statement. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. How do you really know how strong you are unless you're faced with difficulty? How can you really gauge it? In fact, our real strength comes by our dealing with struggle, doesn't it? The illustration has been used many times of the caterpillar that becomes a butterfly. But in the process of being able to fly away as a butterfly, it is the strength that is gained by the struggle to come out of the cocoon that causes the butterfly to be able to fly. And so it is with us. Our real strength comes from our time of struggle. And we're becoming stronger through this. But in the moment, it's hard to see anything but the struggle. I want to be stronger through this. I know you want to be stronger. We need stronger dads. We need stronger moms. We need stronger children, stronger churches. We need stronger leadership. And it's okay to be praying that we might become stronger for one another, because each of us will have our times of weakness that we need to be strong for each other. And let's keep that in mind. But not only is it a good thing for us to be strong during crisis, but it's a command of God. We're actually commanded in Scripture to be strong. In fact, about 40 times, depending on the translation that you use, we're commanded to be strong. It starts in Deuteronomy in chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you find it about 38 more times. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1 or chapter 2 verse 1, it says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So about 40 times in the Bible, we are commanded to be strong. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I don't mean to intimidate any of us as we deal with our weaknesses in our life. We are all weak. We all have our moments of weakness. We all struggle. But we need to remember that God does not intend for us to stay there. He intends for us to use our struggles to make us stronger. But we cannot depend on the strength of this world to get us through. In the scripture reading that Taylor and Wes shared with us this morning, it emphasizes the idea of where we need to look for our strength and where we do not need to look for it. In Psalms 33, verses 15 through 17, it says, "The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue." The idea of that passage is that you cannot depend on this world for your strength. We will pray for stronger medicine, for stronger leadership, for a stronger economy. There's a whole list of things that we need to pray for about the world that we're in right now. And it's legitimate for us as Christians to pray for those all to be stronger. We want this crisis to be over with. We want this virus to be over with. There's nothing wrong with praying for that. But our strength, the inner core of our strength, comes only from one place. And that's from God. Psalms 33, verses 18 through 22. Again, what was read earlier. It reads, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. That's where we depend for our strength. Because you see, and maybe this is part of what God is teaching us right now, we cannot depend on the world's strength. Sometimes our medicine will fail us. Sometimes our leadership will fail us. Sometimes our economy will fail us. Sometimes we will not find the answers in this world. And maybe that was the point to begin with. Maybe we don't need to first turn to the world for our strength. Maybe we first need to turn to God. And guess where we need to turn last? To our God. And all the time in between. The answers for strength ultimately cannot be in this world alone. And Satan will try to tempt us into believing that that's where we turn for strength. And all the time, God is hoping that we will learn from this and turn to Him for our strength. If you take all the synonyms for the word strength and you were to put them all together, and I were to try to preach from them, it would wear you out because there's over 200 references of turning to God for your strength. Over 200 references. I started to announce that I'll preach through all 200 of them in this series, but I thought people won't come back if I do that. But I do want to highlight some in the next few weeks. I want to look at some of these passages that emphasize the strength of the Lord. But let me give you a taste of just a few this morning. And I want you to think about these passages and how important it is that we remember to turn to the Lord for our strength. I lift up my eyes to the mountains, or as the song says, I lift up my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Oh, I love that. Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. No one is like you, Lord. You are great. And your name is mighty in power, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, this is another one of my favorites. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I love that passage, don't you? And what about this one? This is probably one of the most quoted scriptures dealing with strength in God's word. Do we take it to heart, though? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. This next one, read it with me now. I want you to read it with me, and I want you to believe in it as you read it. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. This is a very hopeful, helpful scripture from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Read it with me. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. 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 I love that it says that strength, that power is within us. Within us. It's not just about the power of God working on us. It's about God's power working within us through the Holy Spirit that continues to give us strength. That's where we need to turn for our strength. In Psalms 84... is the words that are behind the song that we played as you were coming in this morning. And you may not can remember that as you were being seated, but the song, Better Is One Day, is taken from Psalms 84. And I wanted you to hear it this morning because I think it's a very appropriate song and scripture as we meet back together. Probably this psalm was written by a priest who had served in the temple. He may have been a doorkeeper in the temple. But he's writing from exile because the Babylonian Empire has taken over Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been destroyed. The temple has been destroyed. And people have been taken captive into Babylon. And I see a priest writing this, singing this, because he longs to go back home. He longs to go back to Jerusalem, and he wants to be in the temple again because that's where he draws his strength. And you've longed to be back here. You wouldn't be here today if you hadn't longed to be back here together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So let me share with you quickly part of this psalm with you. And I think you'll find that it is a very appropriate scripture for what we're talking about today. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Amen. Blessed are those who are strengthened in you. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Amen. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is my sun and my shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good things does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. The Corinthian church had a lot of problems. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, when you come together to take the Lord's Supper, it's not really the Lord's Supper that you're eating. Because when you take the Lord's Supper, you should draw strength from taking the Lord's Supper together. When you commune together with the Lord and when you commune together with your brothers and sisters in Christ, it should be a strengthening situation. Just like the priest wrote in Psalms 84. He longed to be back in the house of the Lord, in the temple of God, so that he could draw strength from that. And when we come together as a church and assemble together, we draw strength from it. I know why you're here. I know you love your brothers and sisters and you wanted to see them again. I know you longed for that fellowship together. And I know you wanted to be back here to worship God. But I suspect, whether you realized it or not, you also wanted to be here so that you could draw strength from the Lord. Because there's something about coming back together, being in this place together, that causes us to draw strength. And especially when we take the Lord's Supper. Now, for some of us this morning, it's going to be awkward. Taking that little cup with the juice in it and the little tab on it that you have to peel off to get the little wafer out so that you have the bread. That's a little awkward. And it's easy to get distracted thinking about getting the silly thing open and thinking about, I wish we didn't have to do this, and I wish we could do this a different way, and I wish we weren't sitting so far apart, and all the things that can be distractions right now. I want to encourage you to let the Lord's Supper, what it means, to give you strength. Because you see, the Corinthians, they forgot what it was about. It's about getting together and kind of like having a party, you know. And there were people that were coming hungry, that went away unfed. And there were people who were ostracized and put off to the side because they weren't, you know, the higher class individuals that sat around the table. And Paul said, that makes a mockery of what the Lord's Supper is really about. And he said this, and these are powerful words. I want you to think about this before we take communion together this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. Whoever therefore eats of the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, therefore. And so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For any person, and examine himself now, and eat and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. A strong language. He said, when you come together and you don't consider what this means The bread representing the body of Jesus, but not just the body of Jesus on the cross, but the body of Jesus, the living body, the church. You have to be considerate of one another, discerning of the body of Jesus. And that the cup represents more than just the blood that was shed at the cross, but it represents the blood that redeems us and unites us together in the body of Jesus. Communion is not just communion with God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, but communion is communion with one another. And that's part of the reason why you're here. And the Corinthians were so abusing it, and it wasn't that they were unworthy to take the Lord's Supper, because all of us are unworthy. It's only by God's grace that we're worthy to take the Lord's Supper. But they were taking it in an unworthy manner because they were not remembering what it means. I want to encourage you this morning to draw strength from the communion, to be able to put your mind and your heart in a place that allows you to get past the awkwardness of it and the difference of it and think about what it means and draw strength from that. Because that's why we're here. That's what it's about. And to help you with that, we're going to play this song. And you're welcome to sing with it. Just as I am, I come broken. And let that prepare your hearts for taking the communion. And if you need help in that preparation this morning, some of our elders are going to be back at the back of the auditorium, and they'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you. But we're going to do this song to prepare for taking the Lord's Supper together. And let's focus our hearts and our minds on what it means, and therefore give God the glory for what this is about. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning being thankful for what we have as a body, the living body of Jesus. And as we remember the bread and the cup this morning, as we remember what it means, may we remember that our thanksgiving for being back together as a family is part of what this remembrance of the communion is about. We're so grateful for the opportunity that we have this morning. May we do it with the right hearts and the right minds. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just as I
Father, we want to thank you for this first day, allowing us to be here this morning. We want to thank you for the blessings of this life, through the good, through the bad. We see you disciplining us and molding our spirit to spend eternity with you. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son, full of grace and truth, to take our sins upon himself, that we might be righteous in your sight. As we prepare to take this bread this morning and remember the body of Christ, we pray that we would be reminded of your love and your promises in times that we feel blessed, in times that we face the trials of this life. Through you, Father, we know there is a cure for every worry, every fear, and every need. But thank you for the sacrifice at the cross, the only thing that matters, Father. Because of that sacrifice, we have hope. Because of that sacrifice, we are called to love you. Because of that sacrifice, we are called to love others as we love ourselves. Once again, thank you, Father, for all that you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Father, thank you for the hope that we have through Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Without that hope, we would not be able to face the trials of this life. Without that hope, we would be nothing. Without that hope, we would be lost. When our time comes, Father, we look forward to spending eternity in the presence of an all-powerful and loving God. As we go through this life, we know that you are with us. At times, there seems to be darkness and we lose sight of you. We pray that you would open our eyes, open our spirits, so we always be able to see you and feel your presence. Father, as we partake of this cup, the remembrance of the blood that was shed, we ask that you take us to the cross, to the foot of the cross. As we look up, we see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see a battered and broken body. We see where nails was driven into his body. We see the pain. We see the agony. As he endured that pain, he took on the sins of this world. The perfect died for the imperfect. Father, because of that, we come before you in all humility, knowing we did nothing to deserve you. Nothing to deserve that horrible death on the cross. And yet you gave us your unmerited favor. Thank you for your grace, Father. Thank you for that sacrifice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Trust the sweetest praise. What a blessing it is to be together this morning, amen? It's good to see everybody. I have missed seeing everybody, so it's really good to see you again. And hopefully we're on the right track to where we can put this virus behind us and get about serving God as we should. I want to give you an update on Ronnie Oliver. He had surgery Friday. He was doing well Friday. I talked to Michelle this morning. She said he's in a lot of pain today, but that's to be expected. So keep lifting them up, and hopefully he'll gain strength in the next few days and be able to get back on his feet. As David talked about this morning, it mentioned several psalms. Well, I want to close with a psalm this morning. I've been reading through the psalms this week, and I was reading through Psalm 143 the other day, and part of it just slapped you upside the face to get your attention. So if you would pray with me as we pray this part of the psalm. Our Heavenly Father, let the morning bring word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. We ask all this through Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Wes has got a few more instructions for us as we just get ready to dismiss.
So we cast lots, and I got the short straw, I guess, on this one, or whatever it means to cast lots still. We need you guys to remain seated. What we're going to do is we're going to have a song that will be playing, and some of our ushers are going to come, and they're going to kind of start dismissing from the back forward. And then, again, when you guys head out, If you haven't gotten to and you are willing and able to, the offering baskets should be right there on your way out. And then you can also dispose of your trash from the communion supplies. And then if you could, go ahead and make your way out of the foyer so that we can start the cleaning process for our next worship service this morning. Thank you again so much for being here with us. So wait until the ushers kind of give you the sign, and then you guys can head up and head out. Have a great morning.
The same.